Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Oh, ho, 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 ho. I do believe that it's best show time. If I'm not mistaken, are we there? Pat?
What?
There he is. That's my guy. That's my guy, Pat. Now, for people who might be new to the best show, this guy, Pat, he's one of the best. Good guy, good guy. That's right. That's Pat's theme music. You don't know it yet.
Can't wait.
You got a theme song now, Pat.
Love it. Bring it
up. Do you know it?
Not yet.
Well, you're going to get it during the show. I'm giving you a theme song. Dudio might get a theme song. We'll see. His theme song. I don't know what his would be. Hold on loosely. 38
Special. Because I'm a huge 38 Special fan.
He loves his classic rock. For people who don't know, cause look, I know the show gets a lot of, new people coming on board, and I want that. I don't want this to be something where you need to know everything about the show to be able to listen. You should be welcome if you're a new listener, and I do welcome you, cause tonight on the best show, we have an exciting program ahead for you. And tonight's topic is one of the all-time greats, if you ask me. Tonight's topic, basically, we are going to take 1,000 calls from 1,000 listeners, and the goal is to improve a movie by adding a dirt bike to it. Sounds simple? It is simple. So get ready. You call 201-332-3484. That's the number, right?
That's it.
And that's the number you call, and then maybe you're going to hear Pat's theme revealed during the show. So you call that number, you call, you talk about what movie could be improved by adding a dirt bike. Pat, what do you think of this as your theme music?
I do, but it's not coming to me yet.
What do you think about that?
I mean, you had me at the start of the song, at that just driving. I was in.
This ain't the summer of love.
I like it.
You're a punk, Pat. I don't mean that in the good way. I don't mean you're a punk like
I'll
a.
Take it.
No, I know. You're a punk in the tradition of punk, the way like a Mike Kroll is a punk.
If this was my eulogy, I'd be very happy.
Well, it's not your eulogy. Or is it?
Oh no.
Yeah, it's the twist.
It'd be really creepy if something happened on the way home.
Oh no. I don't think about it all the time.
Yeah.
Half the stuff I say, I want it to be slightly spooky if I croak.
Right.
Then people are just like, and then the last thing he said, and this is one of them right now. This is literally one of them right now. And then he started talking about how everybody
needs to love one another because you don't know how long life is going to last, and he's gone.
And I'm not minimizing or trivializing death in any way, but I'm just saying it's a constant thought for everybody. Man, I tell you, man, you just wait. You just wait till you read this book I wrote. Your head's not going to be able to handle it. Some of the things in this book. Somebody, a friend described it as Proust by way of Mad Magazine. That's not light. That's not something to take lightly. Again, I don't know who Proust is. I do know what Mad Magazine is. So I took that as the highest compliment. I'm assuming calling something Proust is also a compliment. Let's just assume that. And I also want to thank, we have on board tonight, we have no Brett tonight. No Brett. He is on assignment. And we have Adam holding things down. Thank you, Adam.
You're welcome, Tom.
The mighty Adam. Now, Jason, you vouch for this guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like that. That's...
I mean, he's a good fill-in. He's good. Yeah.
Oh.
See, if I could have chosen some others, I may have. I mean, there's a list.
This guy, this is what he does. He does this. He's 3,000 miles away. I now got to face this guy.
No, I absolutely love Adam. Adam's a great dude.
I get the blowback on this. But I mean, he's not going to rifle through my jacket, is he?
Where'd you put your jacket? Which room is it in?
It's not within my eye line right now.
Okay. Maybe not.
All right. Well, look, let's start the best show because it is the best show, and we know when it's time to start the best show. We got a full topic, the phones. How are the phones? The phones doing good, Pat?
Lit up like the Christmas tree that should happen this week.
That's, see, wow. And that's, yeah, that's the kind of thing you'd think Pat was the one doing radio in West Virginia with segues like that. Not you, Jason.
I know. Pat's good. Pat could have killed it on Classic Rock
Jason,
Radio.
Jason would have been, for people who don't know, and again, there's a lot of new listeners. I want to welcome them all in. Jason was the kind of guy, he worked in radio in West Virginia, and they pumped his stuff into the mine to keep the workers motivated and also to hopefully loosen some of the rock with the rock.
That was one of the sweepers.
You
he
saved
would play
coal.
Like, sorry, say that now.
Jason saved coal for many years.
Jason did save coal. And, look. He saved coal. Now look at him. Fancy guy. Hanging out with Drew Barrymore. Those West Virginia roots. You take the boy out of West Virginia. Can't take West Virginia out of the boy.
That's in you forever.
It's in you forever. You're doing your thing. You're busy playing a Foghat record for these coal miners, keep them happy. Would they call in records? How would they call in records with like a Morse code?
Yeah, it was Morse code. So they would tap, you know, I had to learn it for that. It was mainly a Ram Jam request.
Sure. Yeah.
I had to play Black Betty a lot.
Assuming you hear Black Betty. Yeah, the coal miners, they like their classic rock. And you know what best show listeners like? Do you?
Not classic rock?
No. Well, they do, but you know what best show listeners like? So what do they like?
What do they like, Tom?
They like the best show. And now the best show begins. Back again. show. Hey, everybody. Welcome here on this December episode of The Best Show. My name is Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of tonight's installment, and we have a great show for you tonight. You call up and you improve a movie. It's the night of 1,000 calls of people improving movies by adding a dirt bike to them. So you call up, you add a dirt bike, you hang up. And you say why. You say how it would improve the movie to add a dirt bike. We got a great show. That's the show. Well, actually, if you don't think that's a good idea, we don't have a great show for you tonight. It's a pretty bad show ahead. If you don't like that, you might not get what you're looking for from tonight's show. But you know what? You want it. You know that's going to be funny. So you call up, you participate in that. Now I look over at Twitter, and I got to admit, I'm on Twitter. That's right. I'll admit it. I'm on Twitter, and I notice that DuckTales is trending. DuckTales. Now that's apparently some kind of comic strip or something. Funny pages. What is it now? It's a comic book. It's like an animated comic book. An animated show. Is that what you call it, Jason? Animated show?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
A cartoon.
A cartoon. Yes, that's the word I was looking for. Cartoon. Now, people are, I guess, Danny Putty does a voice on DuckTales. What is DuckTales? Now, which one is that?
That's the one with Scrooge McDuck.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't like that one.
Yeah.
That's a Disney show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not, that's not my cup of tea. DuckTales. Now, I like, Daffy Duck is the duck I like. Not, Donald Duck. And Donald, by the way, boy, that's a name that's ruined for a long time, huh? Donald. How many new, I'll say this, look, if your name is Donald, you've been living as Donald, God bless you. You're doing all right. We know you're not associated, with Mr. Trump. But I'll say this, any kid, you meet somebody 10 years from now and their name, say you meet a 10-year-old named Donald 10 years from now? That means they were named very, very specifically. They were named Donald to pay tribute to Mr. Trump. Yeah. So this Donald, DuckTales guy, is Donald Duck on DuckTales?
I think he pops up from time to time.
Yeah. It was okay. A weird storyline where like he was in the Navy. So he was
Wait, Donald Duck was in the Navy?
Yeah, and so his nephews were being watched by Scrooge McDuck. Is that right, Jason? I'm remembering
this. Yeah, I think you're right on the money.
Off the top of my head.
Adam, are we correct? You're shaking your head, yes.
He's got the uniform.
Yeah,
he does. So they were being watched what? Through like a little, like a hidden camera?
No, like just in the care of.
Oh, okay.
Babysat by Scrooge.
Sure. So Donald Duck was in the Navy. Well, this is the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. Donald Duck was in the Navy. I guess if he's a duck, he swims, right? Well, those ducks don't seem to do a fair amount of swimming for being ducks. Never, yeah, I don't remember seeing Donald Duck, puttering around a lake. Right?
Scrooge swam in his own money, though.
Yeah, but he's a duck. Ducks don't swim. No, ducks don't swim in money. It's not a natural instinct for a duck to swim in piles of gold bullion. But they swim in water. You never see them. They would rent a little canoe or whatever to get around a lake. They should just walk in. No, but look, that's neither here nor there. That sounds dumb. he's in the Navy. So he's a military duck. But then I'm seeing Danny Puddy, the guy from DuckTales. He was on what's the show called again? Hunter? What is it?
Community?
Community. That's right. Yeah, he was on that. Now he's on that. I guess he had some standoff with Larry King, cause Larry King didn't like him talking about his, that he would buy socks with all his DuckTales money. All I say is I think of this. Get me on DuckTales. I'll do DuckTales. You want me to stop ripping on DuckTales? Throw me a voice job on it. Suddenly you'll never get somebody more pro DuckTales. Let's go swimming in the money. Is that a good audition? I'm a duck. No?
It sounds pretty good.
Thank you. Thank you.
What would your duck name be? And what would your relation to Donald be?
I don't know. Clark?
Clark Duck?
Clark. Clark Duck. My name's
Clark.
Are you
brothers with Donald? Are you a cousin?
His landlord?
Business advisor?
I'm his building manager. Clark Duck. That's like Clark Duke. See, they would just give that job to Clark Duke. And I wouldn't blame them.
You could be his mid-season replacement.
Should there be some kind of like on that show, do they curse on DuckTales?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a family-friendly show.
Okay, it's family-friendly.
What if you were someone who served with Donald and you had to come back and tell them that Donald's like lost at sea?
Well, that's gruesome.
It's a good way in though.
It's a pretty good way in, but that's also, look, if you're going to put a duck in the Navy, all bets are off for weird plot lines. So if I do, okay, so I'm not going to do Clark Duck because that should be for Clark Duke. Ron? Is that a good name for a duck? Ron Duck?
What about Ronald B. Duck?
Well, see, the thing is, if it's Ron Duck, they might as well get Ron, because that makes you think of Ronda Rousey. If it's Ron Duck Rousey, they should just get her for that, right? They get Ron Duck Rousey would be good.
You don't have to have the duck last name, because there are other characters that have like McQuack names.
Okay, so maybe my name is like Neil McQuacken.
Neil McQuacken.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm a duck that helped Scrooge McDuck lease a car.
But that's just one episode.
When you go buy a car, and you deal with a salesman and then they slide you into that next room with some horrible person you can't believe exists. When you're just like, salesman acts like your best friend and salesperson, of course. I mean, salesperson.
Right.
So they act like your best friend and then suddenly they go, okay, now go in this room and talk to this person. And then there's just this awful person behind a desk who has piles of contracts and paperwork. You're like, oh, this is where I get ripped off. I'm not talking to I'm done talking to the salesperson now. Oh, now I'm talking to this monster who's totally going to beat me up. And I also kind of doesn't seem like I can negotiate a whole lot anymore. Cause everyone's acting like this is a done deal. That's what I will be. Neil McQuacken. Neil McQuackers. Right?
Yeah, I think that's perfect.
Neil McQuackers. Car dealership finance. who works in finance for a car dealership. I think that's pretty good.
He's just constantly looking under all of his piles.
He'll look and be like, okay, well, let's review the service plan here. Okay, well, here at Kia, we offer a 10-year, 100,000-mile plan. But you do have to get individual things. That's not cover tires. Would you like to talk about some sort of warranty for tires? Cause if you do a warranty for tires, that covers wear and tear and any sort of, foreign objects that get stuck in the tire, lodged in the tire. You bring it in and we automatically cover that for, 100,000 miles also. That was me doing Neil McQuacken.
Quackers.
Neil McQuackers. Now, this is what I say. Now, I'm getting word here on Twitter that DuckTales has already been canceled. Well, not with Neil McQuackers showing up. Fire those computers back up. Start drawing new pictures of ducks. Because Neil McQuackers is coming. I think Neil McQuackers could fit in this. I've never seen 5 seconds of DuckTales. I don't know. Is it violent?
No, it's pretty heartfelt. It's sweet. It's okay. Funny. It's gentle.
Is it funny or is it like funny for a kid's cartoon funny?
Right. It's exactly that. Like a 7-year old's gonna laugh. An 8-year old.
So it's not funny. Much. That's no, what you're saying. It's not funny.
It's not funny.
It's not even remotely funny.
Not to us.
Unless you're a child with a head full of goo.
Yes.
Right?
A goo-filled child would laugh. They laugh so much at DuckTales.
They'd laugh. Okay. They'd laugh at DuckTales. But it seems like Neil McQuackers might be a little bit of might not exactly pop for 7-year-olds. Because they'll just be like, I thought we bought the car from that lady who showed us the car. Why do we have to go sit in this office now? And this, can I get more money for the vending machine?
Neil McQuackers is for the parents. It's like those parents that are always watching like, oh, I watch this. I watch it with the kids. And, you know, there's some stuff in there for adults too. They hide some jokes in there for adults. That's what Neil McQuackers would be.
Neil McQuackers, yeah, but it seems like, look, I'm going to dig in on this Neil McQuackers thing. I think there's something there. So I guess I need to get, who does a voice on DuckTales? You know, who would know this? That dork from George Lucas talk show would know this stuff. There's this one dork that works on that show that would know that.
Who, Patrick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Patrick could get you in on that.
Yeah, I'd rather.
They're all kind of dorks though, right?
No, they're not. They're not. There's one, that kid, like, well, he's a nice guy, but he's kind of a dork. That's a funny show, George Lucas talk show. I love that show. Pat, have you seen that?
No, but I want to see it.
Oh, Pat, you got to check this out.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Connor and, who else is in it?
Griffin
Newman.
Yeah. Griffin Newman, who is, very funny. Up and coming, comedian, probably like a pick to click kind of guy.
Arthur from the Tick.
Arthur from the Tick, yes. Now, Pat, we have any calls?
Plenty of calls. I'm going
to
give
now, you. Now, who's keeping tabs on this 1,000 count that we're trying to get to?
I'll do it.
All right. You do that.
Yeah.
Let's start it.
Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom. How's it going?
Good. Who's this?
This is Jonah from Elgin, Illinois.
What?
Jonah from Elgin, Illinois. Can you hear me?
Jonah from Elgin, Illinois.
That's correct.
How are things in Elgin, Illinois tonight? And where is Elgin, Illinois, by the way?
It's about 45 minutes northwest of Chicago.
Okay. So what you're saying is, do you tell people you're from Chicago? Do you round up?
No, not, No, never. I always just say I'm from the suburbs.
When you hear somebody from your neck of the woods say, like, yeah, I'm from Chicago, are you like, come on?
Yeah, it bugs me. When I went to junior college, kids were talking about getting the Chicago skyline tattooed on their arm, and it really bugged me because they weren't from there.
Yeah, get the Elgin skyline tattooed on their arm, right? What would the Elgin, Elgin, Illinois skyline be? Cheesecake Factory?
No, we don't Target? Even have a Cheesecake Factory.
How close is the Target to the Cheesecake Factory in Elgin?
Probably 20 minutes.
Mm. Kind of bookend in the town, huh? As an either or situation. What's your favorite thing to eat at Target? Do you go, do you sit down and have the pizza pie, or do you buy something and eat it in your car, like snacks?
Yeah, I would get, you know how they have those giant plastic jugs of like party mix? I would get that and eat it in my car.
You need a giant jug of party mix in your car.
Mm-hmm.
Party for one, huh?
That's the times we live in, isn't it?
That's a COVID party right there. COVID party, eating a bucket of trail mix in your car. Now, when you talk about this trail mix that they have at Target, are you talking about the Monster?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
Or the peanut butter monster.
I usually get the one that's more kind of like the Chex Mix style, where it's got like the little pretzels in it, maybe some, I don't know if it has the rye chips, but just like more like the savory one. It doesn't have...
No one wants that rye chip business. No one wants that rye chip.
I'll buy an entire bag of just the Gardetto's rye chips. That's my.
You are troubled. You clearly are troubled. You'll buy a bag of rye chips and just eat that all by yourself.
Yeah, I used to do it when I was studying with my classmates back when I went back to school, and they were driving nuts because it would be really loud and we'd be trying
you better hope I never come to Elgin, Illinois and walk past your car in a Target parking lot to see you eating a bag of rye chips. I'll push you up. I'll roll your car right into traffic. I'm sorry. I would not do that to you.
No,
I'll tell you to put. I'll tell you to pop it in park. How about this? This is what I would. I would not do that to you. But if I saw your car, if you're like, "Hey, man, can I get a jump? My car is stalled," I'd be like, "Yeah, no problem. You got cables?" You'd be like, "Yeah, I do." I'd be like, "Is your car one of those fancy new cars?"
No,
and I'd be like, "Yeah." And then we get the jumper cables out, and then I see that bag of rye chips on your passenger seat. I see a ring of rye. You got a ring of rye around your mouth. I'd be like, "Hey, it's not going to work out." Or I'd hook both jumper cables to the one thing and blow your engine up.
Tom, you're one of the funniest human beings that's ever existed on this planet, I gotta tell you.
What was that? I missed that. Say that again?
You're one of the funniest people that's ever existed on this planet, Tom.
Now there's a problem here. I cannot hear what you're saying. Say that one more time.
You're one of the funniest people that's ever existed on this planet, Tom.
Jonah, please, I have, for some reason it's not coming through. Say that again.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. What were you saying?
You're one of the funniest people that's ever existed on this planet.
Jonah, I heard you every time. Nice. Thank you. So tell me, Jonah, what do you got for a movie thing? You want to add a dirt bike to a movie? What would you do?
So I have a couple. They're both set in New York and involving restaurants. So one is My Dinner with Andre, and in the middle of their talk, a dirt bike drives into the restaurant and drives around, and they spend another 45 minutes just talking about how that's somehow tied to Baudelaire or something like that. But they go on this long tangent about how dirt bikes are some sort of representative of some sort of artsy-fartsy stuff. So that's
sure. So dirt bikes would be a part of their multifaceted conversation that they have in that restaurant.
Yes, exactly.
What's the closest thing to a current movie that's like My Dinner with Andre? Of just people gabbing. Podcasts. I think podcasts are literally My Dinner with Andre.
You're right. You're dead on. Like a New Yorker podcast. A New Yorker podcast.
My podcast with Andre. How is that not a podcast? No, you really. All right. Now you love this show, buddy. You're laughing a bunch. I haven't laughed the way you're laughing. You did more laughing now than I've done in 5 years on this one call. I ain't done that much laughing in 5 years.
This show brings me so much joy. And honestly, as tough as this year has been, I just keep telling myself, I got to make it to read Tom's book.
That's the sweetest thing I ever heard.
I'm not even kidding.
That's the sweetest thing I ever heard, Jonah. My podcast with Andre. I got to meet somebody named Andre. I can either do with Eric Andre or maybe get Paul Scheer to do his character Andre from the league. Maybe I could do Neil McQuackers. Maybe get Paul Scheer reprises Andre from the league, and I bring my new character Neil McQuackers, car dealership finance. Because you think about these movies, right? There's such a thing. I'm listening to this audiobook now, this 45 hour Andy Warhol audiobook, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he talked, there's so much talk about the movies he made, and I gotta see these movies. The movie part of Andy Warhol is something I'm lacking experiential wise with Andy Warhol. We get through this thing. I want somebody to put the Chelsea Girls to screen it the way it was, 4 hours long. I'll sit. I'll watch every minute of that thing. Well, there's nothing wrong with boring. I think the idea of boring. There's something awesome about something that being very meditative and quote unquote boring.
I agree. Well, you used to talk about loving to fall asleep in the theater, and you could literally fall asleep while watching this movie of a guy falling asleep.
No, that would be great. I would do that. I think there's something amazing about people making things that are meant to relax you a little bit. There's something awesome about that.
I agree.
When somebody says they fall asleep to the best show, the two things I think are how, and that's awesome. I think it's awesome. If you could fall asleep to the show, and it puts your mind to a state where you can zonk out, that's great. So what is the other one you have for me, Jonah?
So Do the Right Thing, but instead of him throwing the trash can through the window, he drives a dirt bike. Like he's driving around delivering pizzas.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's driving around delivering pizzas on a dirt bike, but he still takes 2 hours to deliver the pizzas for some reason. And at the end, he just revs that thing up, and he's just revving it up, and then shoots it through the window.
So the dirt bike is a constant through the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you sure you don't want the dirt bike to be a surprise?
That'd be good too. Yeah, because you could just see in the background of some scenes kind of locked up, and they never talk about it. And in the end, he just sort of jumps on it. That's a better idea. Yeah, you should do. I hope they pay you lots of money for Punch Up, Tom, because that's a good one.
That's because it's not like Mookie walked around holding a garbage can the whole movie and then threw it through the window at the last second. They kind of introduced the garbage can late in the mix. So suddenly he just goes and he,
Yep.
He jumps over everybody, crashes a dirt bike through the pizza, through Sal's famous.
And maybe we now live in a world where Spike Lee was directing like Biker Boys or one of the Fast and Furious. Like maybe that would change the entire trajectory of his career.
I'm going to say this. I've been watching these Spike Lee movies in order. I just watched Crooklyn. I'm up to Crooklyn now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been watching them in order the last couple of weeks. This guy's underrated. This guy's so incredibly underrated, his body of work.
Mm-hmm.
He is so, he covers so many, he can do so many things with such ease and puts his personality all over each one, but also serves, he's just, he is very underrated and, you can't, he deserves a lot more credit than he gets for what he has built.
Absolutely. And the cinematography, I don't feel like everybody talks. I know that Ernest Dickerson, but Ernest Dickerson's movies he directed never looked as good, anywhere near as good as the stuff
That's the two of them together. Ernest Dickerson and Spike Lee work together like magic the way they, because I think just maybe it's down to like something like, that Ernest Dickerson can help realize a vision. Maybe that's just the highest, that's the best version of Ernest Dickerson, perhaps. Although he's a really good director.
Yeah.
I gotta say.
They're the Sharpling Worcester of film.
Joni, you're just hitting all the notes tonight, aren't you?
Have you gotten to Clockers yet?
Clockers. I was going to start watching Clockers. I've seen Clockers before. I like Clockers a lot. I'm going to watch it again.
That's one of his most underrated. That one's really good. But
yeah.
I'll let you go, Tom. You've given me lots of time, and just thank you for everything you do. I'm so happy.
Jonah, I'm going to say this, Jonah. In terms of callers, you get a 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10.
Tom,
is this your first call to the show? Is this your first call to the show, Jonah?
No, this is my fourth or fifth, but I only call maybe twice a year. I was
This is the new rule for you, Jonah. When you call up, you just say, this is Jonah, 10 out of 10.
Oh, Tom, I'm going to cry. You say
10 out of 10. You say I'm 10 out of 10. Tom said I'm 10 out of 10.
Tom, I can't wait till my friend shares.
Hang up on him. I'm done with him. Sweet guy. I like Jonah. You want to give me another dirt bike call, Pat?
We could keep going on dirt bike. I also have line 5.
Let's do dirt bike first, please.
Jonah, 10 out of 10.
No. Best show.
Hello?
Best show, hi.
How's it going?
Good. Who's this?
This is Eric in Brooklyn.
Eric in Brooklyn. What part of Brooklyn are you in, Eric?
Crown Heights.
You're in Crown Heights. How's that treating you?
It's all right. I got a 2-bedroom with my brother. Moved out of an apartment with 3 other people, so it's an upgrade.
That's nice. You all right living with your brother?
Yeah, we're actually twins, so I don't know. It's an interesting dynamic.
Now, let me ask you this, and be completely honest. Have you ever felt any of that stuff people say, like twins, where you get like the... He stubs his toe and you feel it?
No, nothing like that. But I will say that you just thought you're a similar wavelength. You have the same friends, same family, and the same upbringing, so you kind of can analyze the situation in a similar mindset.
Okay. Like you feel like you have the same wiring as your brother?
Yeah, in some ways. Definitely some personality differences, but
Have you ever pretended to be him?
No, and that's something our parents always egged us on to do every April Fool's Day, and we never took advantage of it.
No, because they wanted it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Could you pull it off now, or the two of you, have you grown up to where you are not, you are obviously discernible?
Maybe. I think it's too discernible, personally, but with somebody who's gullible, I think we could maybe pull it off for a little while.
Have you ever, and be honest, forgotten which twin you are?
No, that hasn't happened yet. Knock on wood.
You haven't been like, am I Eric or am I Claude? What's your brother's name?
Kevin.
Kevin. Close.
No, it hasn't quite happened yet.
And which one is technically the older brother?
I am.
You are. And do you lord that over Kevin ever?
It's lost some of its usefulness in older age.
Sure.
But when we were kids all the time.
When you're not seven, it generally stops tracking that you're 20 minutes older than your brother.
Yes. He was the taller twin though.
Okay. Well, what do you got for me, Eric? You got something for the topic?
Yeah, the first thing that came to mind was 1917. Figure would speed things up a bit.
The movie, the Sam Mendes historical epic / video game where you watch a guy run around foxholes. If he had a dirt bike, that movie would be over in 15 minutes. Maybe I'd like that movie then.
Yeah.
I tell you one thing.
A lot quicker.
If I had a dirt bike, I wouldn't have gotten out of that theater any faster than I did when I left early. I walked out of that movie. A dirt bike would have slowed me down. I got out so quick.
I think I was hungover and fighting the urge not to fall asleep.
Yeah, that's a sleepy time movie.
In IMAX, well, that, too.
In IMAX, too, yeah. Well, I like that one. Anything else for me, Eric?
No, that's it.
Well, Eric, I wish the best to you, and thanks for the call.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
No, you have a grand evening. You want to do five, please?
Coming right up.
Line five. Hello, best show.
Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining.
Oh, my God. I know who this is. I know who this is. It's been a long time. We have not spoken. Zachary Brimstead, Esquire.
No, you coin-operated dink. It's me, Philadelphia Boy Roy, bringing old-time holiday cheer to you and yourses.
Philadelphia Boy Roy? What's going on with the name change?
Well, you know, I'm in my early 50s now, and I feel like it's time for a respectable name upgrade. Like, they didn't call that country singer Nashville Ernie Ford. They called him Tennessee Ernie Forble.
Wait. They didn't call him Nashville Ernie Ford. They right. called him what?
They called him Tennessee Ernie Forbes.
Well, that is truly the dumbest thing I've ever heard, is that you're getting his last name wrong. You said Tennessee Ernie Ford. You said Nashville Ernie Ford, but then you said right. Tennessee Ernie Forpel.
Look, Tom, I can't keep it all straight. I've got so much important knowledge in my noodle. It's running down my face like Rudy's black hair tonic.
Yeah, that was a great moment, huh?
I was there.
You were there. Yeah, he was sweating up a storm, huh?
He was feeling the heat, but no one can stand that pressure like Rudolph.
He really? No, he's one of those guys, I will say, look, politically I don't always agree with him, but he is a cool customer.
I'm going to agree with everything you said except for the first thing, because I do agree with everything he says politically.
You agree with... I don't know if he agrees with everything he says politically.
Well, he's like me. He's got so much stuff in his noodle that he's got black hair dye rolling down his face like him. Wait, that sounded weird.
Yeah, that came off slightly. That's a little strange. But, hey, Roy, what's up with that singing voice of yours?
Oh, you ain't never heard that? That's my natural singing voice.
That's your natural singing voice.
Oh, yeah, it's always been like that.
It's always been. I mean, okay, I thought I heard whatever, but it's just, it's a very rich baritone.
Okay, okay, look, for full disclosure, all right, I
speak yeah.
from Pall Mall to Virginia Slim's Extra Long about 2 months ago, and it cleared my voice up super high. Great.
So you switched the cigarettes you were smoking.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the exact same thing Dylan experienced when he made Nashville Skyline. But back then, they were just Virginia semi-longs.
Yeah, so you're smoking Virginia Slims these days, huh?
Yeah, don't tell no one.
Okay, well, that's your business. Although you just yeah. did tell everyone.
Wait, I'm not on the air, am I?
You are on the air.
Oh, drats.
Yeah, wow.
You don't hear people say that no more, do you?
Nobody says drats anymore, you're right.
It's all F this and F that and D that and S that. No one says drats no more.
Yeah, no, really, it was such an elegant time back then when you would say drats.
It certainly was back in the mid-60s. Hey, speaking of.
Yeah.
Happy post Zappa Day. It was his 80th birthday yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. Happy post Zappa birthday. That's right. Yesterday would have been Frank Zappa's 80th birthday.
That's right. Rock on. Did you see the Zappa documentary that just went up a couple weeks ago?
I did.
Oh, rock on. You know, I'm the one who taught Zappa that holier-than-thou super condescending thing.
You are.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You want to hear the story?
Yes, please.
Oh, rock on. Well, here's the dealio. My mom was working catering at the newly opened electric factory in 1968 when the mothers bopped down to Philly from New York where they was recording Reuben and the Jets.
Okay.
All right, so they got this show at the Electric Factory, and all right, here's the full story. It was one of them periods in my parents' very tumultuous relationship when my dad thought their wedding vows didn't apply to him, and he was carrying on affairs with cheerleaders from several of Philly's minor league sports teams.
Okay, from Philly, yeah. Minor league Philly sports teams.
There were a ton of them back then.
Like, what? I don't know what teams you're talking about.
Okay, well, there was a hockey team called the Philadelphia School Killers, which was a real shame because it was named after the
after the Schuylkill River, but, you know, you say it, and it sounds like you're saying school killers.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate name.
So rather than changing their name, they agreed to fold the team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Who else was he zapping? A cheerleader from the Philadelphia Hats?
From the Philadelphia what?
Hats. It was a professional tetherball team.
The Philadelphia Hats.
Yes, yes. Well, you've heard of the I believe they were the ABA, the Memphis Tams, and a Tam is also a hat, right?
Oh, yeah. Now, that actually, whenever I think of, was it Memphis, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever I think of Memphis, I always think of who could be walking around in a sporty Tam O'Shanter.
Look at that Tam on that guy. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's
yeah,
doing
of course.
It right.
There's nothing else going on in that city that you would name a sports team after
to capture
the spirit of the city?
No, not at all. No music, no art, no photography, no businesses like Holiday Inn and FedEx starting up. Nothing like that.
No. Let's name it after a hat.
Yeah. So they were trying to out-hat the Tam, so they were the Philadelphia Hats.
Okay.
And there was another team called the Philadelphia Declarations of Independences.
Well, that's a real mouthful.
Real mouthful. It was a professional knee basketball team, which didn't last long. It was basically grown men playing basketball with Nerf balls on their knees.
Like Dorf style?
Yeah, like children play.
Yeah, so there was. I did not know that there was ever a professional knee basketball league.
Well, you're right in not knowing that because it was terrible and there were no crowds. The crowds were so small they was having games in players' living rooms.
Well, I mean, I guess that fits the knee basketball part of it, but that I'm sure that's not where they wanted the league to exist.
No, not at all. It started in the convention center, which held that's where the Beatles played it. Like, 8,000 people, and pretty soon you got to downgrade to a capacity of 4.
Yeah. Wow. That's a real kind of rollback on.
Right?
On attendance. Yeah. Hey, everyone. Yeah. We're gonna play the games in a different venue. Okay, so not playing them at the convention center?
Yeah.
We're not gonna be at the convention center anymore? No. Well, where are we gonna be? My house.
Dell's living room. But we sold a bunch of tickets and it's ottoman seating only.
Yeah, a full house, literally.
Okay, yeah. But getting back to the story, my dad was on the prowl that night of the mother show, so Mom had to take me to work with her. I was only 4 at the time, but oh, was I precocious.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I was out of hand. So basically, I'm just sitting at a table in catering, and I look up, and Frank Zappa's getting a heaping ladle full of sog paneer out of one of them pots there. And he takes it out, and he overshoots his plate, and he ends up getting spinach all over his shirt.
Okay.
So I go, smooth move, parrot face. And now this was before he had what I call the Zappa zest. Right?
Uh-huh. What do you call, what is it before he had the Zappa what?
Zest. Z-E-S-T. You know how
okay.
What's the movie? Gone with the Wind, where he says of, he goes, you, Scarlett, have a certain zest for living.
Uh-huh.
It was it's like that.
Yeah, I don't know if that's Gone with the Wind. I think that's Caddyshack.
I always get them confused for some reason, don't you?
So, it happens. It happens.
Okay. So, anyway, I call Frank Parrotface, and he immediately goes beet red. And then a little tear starts falling down his cheek, and I realize, oh, my God, he's totally humiliated. And I felt really bad all of a sudden. And, Tom, to this day, it's probably the worst and maybe the only time I ever felt bad about anything I'd done.
So that's troubling that's what it took for you to feel any sort of remorse for something?
Oh, but I did feel it for a couple seconds, and then I kind of moved on.
Sure, sure. No, well, then you just powered through.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at Frank, and I'm thinking to myself, and I go, I know this is the proverbial fork in the road for this dude. So I toddle up to him, and in full view of everyone, band, crew, security, management, I go, look, you muscle-free, way-too-complicated music magazine's perv of the year. Do you want to be a little tiny mouse or the insufferable, condescending, and I hold up my tiny hands to make little air quotes, genius who changes music history by somehow combining the least enjoyable aspects of jazz, the self-satisfied pompousness of classical music, and the cringiest elements of doo-wop with lyrics about having sex with teenage girls who aren't your wife and somehow getting people to love it? And he stops crying and he goes, I honestly can't remember exactly what you said just now, but I want to be the second part of it.
Wow. So you really were an influential figure in the...
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. And I go, okay, all you got to do is remember the humiliation you suffered at the tiny mittened hands of the tot you see before you right now. Mm-hmm. And everyone whoever gets in your way or ruffles your feathers is that tot and is the object of your hatred on whom you must get vengeance. And the rest is Zappistory. That Zappa and history combined.
Sure. No, I was able to figure that part out, but that is a wild story, Roy.
Isn't it? Rock on. That's why he called his label Barkin' Pumpkin Records, as a tribute to me, because he knew how much I loved Halloween and the musings of loud opinionated dogs.
Oh, he really did have you pegged, huh?
He did. Hey, have you seen the teaser from this Peter Jackson Beatles doc?
I did see the teaser for it, yeah.
Oh, rock on. You know, I ain't seen it yet. It's supposed to be good, and I just want to say this right now. Personally, I would love to have my bandmate's girlfriend sitting 2 feet away from me as we hash out song ideas for 10 hours straight, okay?
Sure. Now, that's its own challenge, regardless of whatever you think of Yoko Ono or not. It's just a hard thing to have somebody sitting while you're trying to make something.
Absolutely. And she did a lot of great stuff. You know, rock on to her, you know. Hey, I wonder if this doc gets into that famous love triangle between Eric Clapton, George Harrison, and Patty Hearst. Have you heard anything about it?
Wait, Eric Clapton, George Harrison, and not Patty Hearst. That's the wrong name.
Yeah. No, it ain't. Who do you think it is?
Was Patty, I'm blanking on her name. It's not Patty Hearst.
You don't think it was Patty Harrison?
Well, I guess it would be Patty Harrison. Yeah.
No, it's Patty Hearst.
It's Roy, it's not Patty Hearst. I know that.
No, it's Patty Hearst. Why do you think Clapton and George Harrison ended up doing all those benefit shows for the Symbolese Liberation Army?
Wait, hold on a second. It's the Symbionese Liberation Army. You said it's the symbol?
Yeah, symbol and ease.
It's not symbol and ease.
No, I thought it was this organization that helped
making cymbal playing easier, like for drum sets?
No, that's, remember how I said that, that other thing was the dumbest thing I ever heard?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's ancient history now, Roy.
Rock on, I guess, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, can I just, ask you why you keep saying that?
Keep saying what, Tom?
Rock on.
Oh, was I saying that? Well, it's a cool new verbal meme that's sweeping the nation. Have you heard about it?
No, I have not heard about it. I have not heard that rock on was a thing.
You know who has heard about it and he's very miffed?
Who's that?
Trump.
Trump is mad about rock on?
Yeah, he's trying to get it shut down because he thinks it's Antifa code for Trump SSD.
Yeah, well, it's not Antifa code.
Okay, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I do know? You know what I do know, though?
What's that?
Well, I'm turning to my right now, and I'm staring at my hot single EMT ladies of Northeast Philly calendar, and it seems like it's that time of the year again.
What do you mean, what time of year?
Oh, I think you know. Should I just do it?
Well, if this is what you're, if you're calling to do what I think you're, what you're referring to, then yeah.
Okay, here we go. For the next Christmas, when all events is done, now the greatest there, not even the billionaire.
Hey, Roy.
Yeah.
It's really hard to understand you. It's really muffled.
Newsflash, there's a pandemic happening and I got a mask on. I don't want to make myself go wild, do I?
I don't know. What do you mean, go wild?
Crack a doctor right at the 2013 World Symposium on Infectious Diseases much? It don't sound like you do.
Yeah. Are you sure you know what a pandemic is?
Of course I do. It means total pandemonium is going to break out. Just like when that robot tore the roof off that football stadium and started squishing the members of Queen while everyone was running all over the place.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a horrible, was that their final show?
They never played again, ever.
Yeah, because that robot grabbed them, started squishing them, and they survived. But I remember, I think they were so scarred by it that they never wanted to get it in front of an audience again.
Yeah, it's true. And John Deacon, he was the one that was really, really hurt. He was just an upper torso after that.
Uh-huh.
It was so sick.
It was like half of John Deacon.
Yeah, as a half deacon. Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to take my chances and leave my mask off, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's get a little Christmas music on. Let me know if this is too loud. Is that too loud in the background?
I don't think so. I think it's pretty quiet.
Okay. 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, Philly Style, by Roydan Ziegler. And I do want to mention that former Philadelphia Mayor Frank Rizzo has been exorcised from the sacred text and replaced by Philly's favorite son of all time, Bob Saget.
Okay.
'Twas the Night Before Christmas, when all through Veterans Stadium, not a creature was stirring, not even the Philly fanatic. Nem Stockings was hung by the dugout with care in hopes that St. Saget would soon be there. Nem Eagles was nestled all snug in their beds while visions of cheesesteaks danced in their heads. Patty LaBelle in her kerchief and I in my Phillies cap had just settled down for a long winter's nap. when out on the playing field there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the dugout to see what was the matter. Away from the bed I flew like a flash, tore up the stairs, and grabbed me a bat. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave the luster of hoagie buns to objects below. When what to my wondering eyes should appear but a gigantic sled and eight legends so dear. With a tough old driver so mean yet so fair, I knew in a moment Questlove would be there. More rapid than them 76ers, those heroes, they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Schmitty, now Iverson, now Perrant and Detmer, on Hall, on Oates, on Hooters and Rundgren, to the heart of South Street, to Jim Stakes, you all, now dash away, like Steve Carlton's fastball. Like the basketball's Dr. J would let fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So down to South Street, them legends, they flew, with the sleigh full of toys, and St. Saget, too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the street the sound of my heroes landing on their feet. As I drew in my head and was turning around, down the chimney at Jim Stakes, St. Saget came with a bound. He was dressed all in silver and green from his head to his cleats, and he demanded Jim make him a cheesesteak to eat. A bundle of footballs and hockey sticks he flung on his back, and he looked like a cop at the Spectrum, eating a Blue Oyster Cult crowd back. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like Phillies helmets, his nose like a can of Frank's Cherry. His filthy little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and his three chins were as white as the snow. The end of a cigar he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke it encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and a fat round belly that shook when he laughed, like tasty cakes filled with jelly. He was chubby and plump, a right tough old guy, and I laughed at him until he said I was going to die. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon made me know that I had plenty to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled on them stockings and called me a jerk. And laying his finger aside of his nose, accepting my bribe, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a thump, and away they flew in the direction of Manayunk. But I heard him exclaim, as he drove them without mercy, "Happy Christmas to all, and let's skip New Jersey."
Wow, Roy.
Every time I read it, it feels fresh, doesn't it to you?
Yeah, no, Roy. It's a holiday tradition at this point to hear you do the "'Twas the Night Before Christmas" Philly style, and I like the chain. I like you updating it with Bob Saget. I thought you're a class act.
Thank you, my friend, and I want to say to you, you're still my bestie after all these years.
Wow, Roy.
You have something to say to me?
Yeah, I appreciate your calls to the show.
And
I think you do a great job, and I am a huge admirer of your spunk and your you have a zest for living that I admire. And you're my bestie also.
Oh, that's all I wanted for Christmas. Thank you so much. Okay, you have a great Christmas, Tim. And to all the listeners.
Tom,
of the
it's Tom.
Oh, it's Tom. It is. I got to write that down. Is it
yeah, yeah, your like, bestie. Like, you write down your, get your bestie's first name right.
Okay. It's not like Tom York, right? It's T-O-M.
T-O-M, yes, the traditional spelling of Tom.
Got it. Okay. Well, to you and all the listeners of The Better Show.
The best show.
What is it again? I'm sorry.
It's the best show. You don't know this after all these years?
I don't know. My mind is clouded with all kinds of stuff. But to you I say, Merry Christmas, and I'll sign off with a song.
Okay.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, PA, how lame we see thee lie. Uh-huh. North of the golden city of brotherly love, the town where nobody will ever die.
So wait, so Roy, he's gone. Well, that was nice. That was nice. A tradition. Still alive. I love it. Well, how about that? You like that, Pat?
A beautiful rendition.
Yeah. Got any calls for me?
Let's go to line two.
Line two. Best show. Welcome to the best show. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, Don. This is Don in Philadelphia.
Don in Philadelphia. We're back to back with the Philly calls tonight.
Oh, nice. I'm actually not listening live, but that's good to hear.
Okay. How you just doing had, tonight, Tom? I'm good. You just had Philly boy Roy.
Oh, nice. Oh, I can't wait to listen tomorrow. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you got for me, Don?
Yeah, I have one for the topic. I'm not sure.
And what part of Philly are you in, Don? Fishtown?
No, I live in Northeast Philly, the far Northeast.
Like around where? That science museum I went to and before I threw up?
Oh, no, there's no science museum near me at all. I'm not sure where that would have been. That sounds maybe near Center City or University of Pennsylvania or something. I don't know. But I know.
What do you got for me, buddy?
All right. The movie would be The Passion of the Christ.
This is now going to the topic where we are talking about add a dirt bike to a movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you're adding a dirt bike to The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, the movie is a couple hours of brutality, and I mean, it's awful what's happening, and then ultimately there's the crucifixion, and finally, after all that brutality, the movie, they just show the cave at the end of the movie, and it's, you go for like a full minute of silence, like just pure silence, and then real quietly you can hear, way off in the background, mm-hmm. and it's the dirt bike as Jesus, as he's rising from the dead, he zips out on the dirt bike, and that's the end of the movie.
Well, I think you're gonna have what we call in this business a hard sell.
Okay.
I'm not correcting you or taking this away from you. I'm just saying. It's a little bit of a challenge that we're going to tell the story of Jesus, but add a dirt bike to it.
It would probably confuse people, I guess, at the end. I don't know.
Look, I'm not saying you're done. You want to add a dirt bike to it, you add a dirt bike to it.
All right,
buddy. Thank you.
Well, I'm looking forward to 2021.
Is it gone?
Yes.
Give me another one, Pat, please. Best Show. Hi.
Hello, Tom. It's Mike from Keyport, New Jersey.
Mike from Keyport, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
All right, I got a quick one for the topic. And a dirt bike. Here we go. Cannonball Run. Not the whole Cannonball Run, but just we get Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr., their characters, on a dirt bike instead of in whatever fancy sports car they're in. And the kicker is all of their dialogue, all their funny, zippy one-liners, they've got to scream at the top of their lungs to get over the sound of the revving dirt bike engines.
So let me picture this again. Mm-hmm. It's Cannonball Run, the Burt Reynolds and company ensemble piece where they drive from coast to coast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But now they're all on dirt bikes.
They can all be on dirt bikes, but more specifically, I want Dean Martin's character and Sammy Davis Jr.'s character. They were the loan sharks, but they were also the priests dressed up. What I would like is their characters, most importantly, their characters on the dirt bike.
Okay. You want them on the dirt bikes. That way you could hear Dean Martin scream his wobbly dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I think that's where the comedy lies. That's where the comedy is, dare I say, ramped up in this one.
Now, you don't think that in any way this compromises the performance or even the chance that they'd win the race if they're on dirt bikes?
It can't go 100% correctly for them. You know, they have to take a dirt bike now across the country. So I think that hampers their odds. I think they came in, what, fourth in the Cannonball? But I do think that, like, just the idea of Sammy Davis and Dean Martin with their cool guy jokes and their one-liners and their, you know, their priest antics, screaming their lines would be, that's where the comedy gold is mined here.
It's interesting, because when you say you're going to add a dirt bike to a movie like Cannonball Run, which is such an automotive film, who was on a motorcycle in that movie? Burt Convy?
Burt Convy and I don't remember the name of the other actor, but he, and they were popping wheelies.
Yeah.
We might have to take them out and put them in like a Trans Am or a Porsche.
Sure, sure.
To overcompensate for the dirt bike that, you know, Dean and Sammy are going to be in.
Sure. So you're looking at it. We upgrade on Dean and Sammy the way you're saying it, but now we've just lost Burt Convy's defining characteristic in the movie.
Addition by subtraction.
It's like a game of Jenga, my friend. It's a game of Jenga.
As you know, as a proficient Jenga player, you know, I know what we're up against. I know what we're up against.
You're good at Jenga, huh?
I have participated in a few tournaments here and there. Not for big money, not Cannonball Run money, but you know, here and there.
Sure, I'm pretty good at Jenga too. I had one game I was playing where, it was a little more high stakes than maybe the games you play. It was $900,000 a piece for every piece.
For every row that you add?
For every row, yes. And this one Jenga player, they got the one piece. They pulled the thing out, right? It was like there was one of the levels was resting on two pieces, right?
Okay, all right.
They pulled that one piece out, and that was resting on one piece. You know what I did?
I can only imagine, but go ahead.
I pulled. Everybody was like, of course you're going to avoid that piece now. The one that's like a, that's a, you got one piece balancing the thing.
hanger, so to speak.
A hanger. So this is what I did.
Yeah.
I reached in. I pulled the one piece balancing that had the whole thing balancing on it.
Mm.
And the Jenga didn't fall. It levitated.
See, that's a magical story.
It just hovered there. And then.
Did you win the money?
The other guy started doing his thing, right? And then a friend of mine blew an air horn at him, and then he messed up, and then I won $11 million.
For tax purposes, what was the take-home on that?
Well, I paid my taxes on that. I paid that. What do you think? I'm a crook?
No, you're not a crook.
This dork who's on that George Lucas talk show, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Patrick is his name. Words coming down, the kid's a little bit of a tax cheat. I'm not a tax cheat. I ain't no Patrick. Ain't no tax cheat. So
you're
go
the
ahead.
Opposite end of that pendulum.
What's that now? Pendulum? Magician?
No. You're the opposite side of the pendulum.
I don't like that. I like Teller. I don't like the other one, Pendulum, so much.
You know, listen. Teller knows. He knows what his,
pendulum.
His role in that group is.
He did put out some pretty sweet half Japanese records, though.
This is a big lesson in learning today. So,
yeah. All right, Chief. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks.
Keep it coming. Who's next? Over at 201-332-3484. Best show. Hi. Hello, best show.
Hi, Don.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
This is Woody in Rochester.
Woody in Rochester.
That's right, Tom.
Rochester, now that's the city that's famous for the garbage plate, right?
You got it. We're the one.
Which, for people who don't know, the fine folks in Rochester, New York, this is what they eat on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plate of French fries, right? French fries?
Could be French fries. Could be home fries.
French fries or home fries. And what gets dumped on that thing to earn the title garbage plate?
Okay, well, first of all, you get a second side. So you can get your French fries or home fries, and then usually you're getting yourself like a mac salad. Some people go baked beans. Mm-hmm. I'm a mac salad man myself.
Sure,
and,
sure.
I mean, keeping it classy here in Rochester. Then on top of that, would you put on...
Wait, they put the mac salad on the French fries?
It's called a garbage plate. So what you get is a pile of garbage. I mean,
It's like when you say a side, they're not giving you a little cup full of mac and cheese.
No. This is all on one plate, and it's all commingled. You know, no one cares about it. It's all touching. It's all one solid mass.
Mm-hmm.
So you get your sides, but on top of that goes either two hamburgers or cheeseburgers or two hot dogs, or you can get a hot dog and a hamburger. They just go right on top without buns. And then on top of that goes this like meat hot sauce. It's almost like a chili, but it's very saucy. It's very kind of like they just kind of pour that on top, and then maybe some onions and some mustard, and then you just go. Oh, and there's bread on the side, Tom, because you're gonna need some bread with it.
Sure. You ever think about when you order that of just ordering it and then dropping it right in a toilet, cut out the middleman?
I mean. If we were smart, that's what we'd do, right?
Yeah.
Because you save you some intermediate distress.
I love it. How many when's the last time you had a garbage plate?
We're in a pandemic right now. Although I did get one. There's kind of a fancier place that has like a slightly less gross version of it that I order from sometimes, the old Grubhub or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple months ago.
All right, fair enough. Look, it's in your blood. You're Rochester.
I mean, it's literally in my blood, Tom.
Yeah. So what can I do for you, my friend?
I got one for the topic. I think we should add a dirt bike to the end of the movie Punch Drunk Love.
For who? For Barry?
For Barry. So Barry has this screaming argument on the phone.
I love this. With I love
Seymour
this.
Hoffman. And
he's like, shut up, right? Shut up, shut up.
And then he pulls it, he yanks the phone cord out of the phone, and he starts running towards, Provo, Utah. But what he does is he stops back at the warehouse where they're making the Fungers, and Luis Guzman is there, and Guzman has a dirt bike that Sandler borrows from him. And then Sandler rides the dirt bike from L.A. all the way to Utah to confront the mattress man, drives the dirt bike right into the mattress showroom where Hoffman's getting his haircut.
Oh, I love it. He rides a dirt bike right in.
Right in.
Like, right through the mattress
that,
shop.
Mattress man.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say this. I thought Punch Drunk Love was impervious to improvement until tonight.
Wow.
That's garbage plate. Garbage, Mr. Garbage Plate came through.
Yeah, it might be doing things to my body, but maybe it's fueling my brain, Tom.
Might be. This might be helping you. This might be like, we might have a limitless situation here.
Oh, what if that's it? I mean, maybe that's how like Kodak got started. We got Kodak and Xerox up here. Maybe George Eastman was eating garbage plates, came up with the movie camera.
Well, whoever was eating garbage plates was eating garbage plates, came up with the garbage plate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a real snake eating its own tail kind of thing.
Ooh, that's what the you did it.
To figure out.
I love it. Well done. Well done.
Thank you, Tom.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Best show. Give me another one, please. Best show, hi.
Hello?
Hello, hi, best show.
Oh, yes, oh, I did the thing, right? I got to mute the thing. I always hear people not muting the thing. I just got it muted. I'm sorry, I did it. It's muted.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Cool. Now you figure it out.
I'm here. I am set. My name is Vitaly. I'm calling from North Jersey. I got one for the topic.
What do you got, Vital? What do you got for the add a dirt bike to a movie? What movie you want to add a dirt bike to?
Well, I want to see 12 Angry Men. I mean, like, well, let me correct myself. I never want to see 12 Angry Men again, but if there was a dirt bike, and imagine it's like at the beginning where there was that old guy in it, the juror that's like, oh, I don't care, I got a baseball game, let the kid ride, he probably did it. Imagine he was saying that as he was stepping on a dirt bike. And then the guy that was like the earnest one that wanted to make sure that the fair trial was had just chased him for like an hour and a half, caught up with him, they had a fight, and then they came back to the court, and that was the end of the movie.
I like it. I think there's room. I'm going to pitch this to you since this is your baby.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking to collaborate here.
Let's do it.
12 Angry Men.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? 6 of them are dirt bikes.
Oh, that really cuts to like right to the chase of having a dirt bike chase in the movie.
That way you get people like being like, of course he's guilty. There's no way he's not guilty.
Yes, I want that. I would watch that. That is how I would watch 12 Angry Men again.
And six dirt bikes are on the jury.
Six six angry men, six angry dirt bikes, one big blockbuster.
Exactly. I love it. We did it.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Tom.
No, wait, what else? What?
I'm so sorry, Tom.
He's gone. That's too bad. No, he didn't pace his thing out right. He did a little, oh, I forgot. Can't do that. You play with fire. Next call, please. Hello, best show. Oh, by the way, at the top of the show, we heard Kurt Vile, Life's a Beach. Great song from our friend. To whom am I speaking?
This is Andrew from Santa Cruz, California.
Home of,
I don't know, the Lost Boys? Home of the Lost Boys.
Isn't there a podcast legend from Santa Cruz?
There's a podcast legend? Oh, no. Who is it?
Yeah. Isn't Jesse Thorpe from Santa Cruz?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't lived here long enough to be considered a local. I've been here.
Well,
for
go downtown.
Years.
You gotta go to town hall. They'll set you straight.
Okay.
And what's your name again, Chief?
It's Andrew.
Andrew, welcome to the show, Andrew.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What do you got for me?
So I got one for the topic. I was thinking you could improve an inconvenient truth with a dirt bike. Like, if you imagine Al Gore's, like, given the PowerPoint, and he's, like, showing, like, the graph of carbon, and then, like, you zoom out, and it's actually, like, an iceberg shaped into a jump, right?
Yeah.
It's like a polar bear. There's, like, a polar bear just passed the jump, and then he has to, like, jump over the polar bear.
Why don't we why don't we put the polar bear on the dirt bike?
Yeah. Like, would the polar bear be, like, steering? Or, like, would Al Gore be riding behind the polar bear?
No, Al Gore's not even in this. And he's stuck on a little ice floe.
Okay. Cool.
And then, like, a gang of polar bears riding dirt bikes pull up, and then, like, one does like a fast cut, and then like just sprays snow all over him.
Uh huh. Yeah.
All over Al Gore. And they're going, and the snow is just flying right in his face.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, look, might not be as informative of a movie as it originally was, but what would you rather watch?
Yeah, I feel like there's still like the next Sundance hit. I think it would still make it. Yeah, I think it could be a blockbuster. It could probably reach a lot of people.
All right, I love it. Great.
All right.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
Good night. Thank you. Good guy. Next call. What do we got? Best show. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the program. To whom am I speaking?
This is Wes.
Wes, hello? Where are you calling from, Wes?
I'm calling from Vancouver.
From Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
That's the one.
How are things in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada? Now, what's the deal with Vancouver Island? What's the deal with that?
Oh, I'm from Vancouver Island.
But what's the deal with it?
It is a small island off of Vancouver that shares a name with Vancouver.
But what's so fancy about it?
There's nothing fancy about it. There's a lot of the mix of rednecks and hippies.
Okay.
And kind of where those two communities meet.
Hippies and rednecks.
Yeah.
I love it. And which one are you?
I fancy myself right smack down in the middle.
Sure. You mean like where you're done up, so if you turn one way, you look like a hippie, and you turn the other, you look like in profile, you look like a rocker?
Yeah, something like that. Or where, like, both
groups of my friends listen to Neil Young, but for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. Yeah. What do you listen to Neil Young for? What makes you listen to Neil Young? Canadian Pride?
There's that. There's the guitar tone.
No, right.
I went through my top 10 listen to records of the year, and one was Stars and Bars.
Yeah, American Stars and Bars, classic. What's your favorite Neil Young song of all of them? You got to pick one. What is it? I can guess you. I can guess. On the count of three, we'll both say your favorite Neil Young song. You ready?
Okay.
One, two, three. Powderfinger.
Killer. Oh.
We're close. Cortez the Killer, Powderfinger. Close.
It's pretty close.
All right. So to what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
Well, I had one for the topic.
Let's hear it.
So One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It's the exact same ending. Everything happens the same. But McMurphy had stashed a dirt bike in the hedges outside the window, and the chief rides off. On the dirt bike.
I love it. I love it. That's so there's like got. You're using a dirt bike to create like a magical moment.
Well, it just speeds things up at the end.
Yeah. All right. Love it. Anything else?
No, great.
Bye. Thank you, Tom. Hello, best show. Best show, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good. To whom am I speaking?
This is Claire from Ireland.
Claire from Ireland. You're in Ireland right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes, unfortunately it is 3:47 a.m.
3:47 a.m. And why are you up at this time of the morning, Claire?
Well, I again have drank some Coca-Cola too late in the day. I'm listening live, rarely.
Now, what is something about Ireland that an American like me would have no idea about? Give me something fascinating about what it's like to live in Ireland that I would not know about.
Oh gosh, I would say if you chose to live in Dublin, you would lose any hope of ever owning a home.
because it's impossible to buy a home?
Oh, just the house prices and the inability to get a mortgage. That is
well, Claire, something that's I got on some my exciting news for you.
You bought me a house.
I did.
Oh, thank you.
I bought you a house. I bought three.
Finally.
And you can pick one of the three.
Right.
And then we'll let the guys from SoCal get the other two houses.
Deal. Oh, I wish that was true.
So say you want to go and eat a nice quick meal by yourself, Claire. Where would you go?
Oh, wow. I'd probably go to there's like some really good Korean and Japanese restaurants in Temple Bar in Dublin, but okay. I have not been there for a year because of the whole, you know, pandemic thing. So
sure.
Mostly I go to my fridge.
And now when people say, oh, you got to have Guinness in Ireland, it's so much better than anywhere else. Do you even know what it's like anywhere else? Cause you're from Ireland.
No. Well, I mean, if you go to the Guinness, the storehouse, the kind of museum thing, you can try different Guinnesses from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot tell the difference. It all just tastes like kind of brown.
Tastes brown.
Yeah.
I got to say, because everybody's just like, oh, you get the Guinness in Ireland. It's not even the same. It's like drinking cake.
Bad cake.
Drink cake. I'll just go eat some cake.
I'd rather drink some cake.
Yeah.
Apparently the one from South Africa is more bubbly. I don't know.
And then, they took the little ruler and cut the foam off the top.
Yeah, we have to do that, or yeah, it's important. You have to draw the little shamrock on top.
Sure. Well, Claire, so what? To what do I owe the pleasure of this call tonight?
Well, I'm hoping to make one of the most boring films I've ever watched into possibly one of the most exciting films I've ever watched.
Let me guess, which movie? Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
No, but
maybe one of the most boring movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, I haven't made it the whole way through that, so I can't.
Because I saw the first one and I thought it sucked, right? Everybody's like, oh, you got to see it. It's, and I go see this thing, Lord of the Rings, right? And first I thought it was, halfway through, I thought it was Lord of the Dance. I thought it was Michael Flatley. And I'm just like, wait, when does he show up to do his thing? And they're like, no, he's not in this. Okay, well, it's strike one, but that's on me. I misread the thing. And everybody's like, oh, it's just wait. And I watch it. Basically, it was like watching these elves have like a town hall meeting.
Yeah, a town hall meeting and then a very long walk.
Yeah. And then everybody's like, oh, the second one is so much better. You're going to love the second one. Literally in the second one, one of these elves gets in a tree that starts walking around.
Mm-hmm.
And the tree's going bloop, bloop, bloop. Bloop. It's a tree walking. It's the slowest thing imaginable.
But the graphics, the special effects.
Yeah, I don't. Good for them. What am I running? Lucas Films? I don't care. So yeah, but I skipped the third one, and I guess in the third one, that one elf throws the watch, the whatever. It's like a radioactive watch, mm-hmm, poisoned watch or something. What is it?
Yeah, the one watch, something like that.
Because that's what it's like a, there's like a, is it a possessed watch or a poison watch?
It's like a magic.
A magic thing. Watch. So he's got this magic watch and they're just like, for what God knows whatever reason, they got to get rid of this magic. I would personally think he had a magic watch, he'd hold on to it. Seems like you could, seems quite collectible. But that's neither here nor there. It's not for me. So what, to you, Claire, what is this boring movie that you'd like to change?
Oh my. Avatar, please. Can Avatar please have dirt bikes instead of horse lizards?
Oh my God. Could you imagine? Avatar. I remember sitting at the Avatar and I was like, all right, now it's wrapping up. Not realizing there's another hour to go in this thing.
Yeah.
Suddenly I was like, oh, they blew up the giant tree. Which I wish was the tree from Lord of the Rings. I wish that tree ate it. But it wasn't. It was a different tree. It was like, oh, it's the tree of life. And I was like, oh, they blew up the tree of life. And then now, which is another thing, they could blow up the movie Tree of Life. I'd be fine with that as well. But then there was a point where it's just like, we got the one military guy gets in like some like a little robe, whatever he was in. He's stomping around. I was like this is
suit thing.
Yeah, the suit thing. That's right. Yeah. So you would want to add dirt bikes instead of horses.
Yeah, those lizardy horsey things that they fly around on.
Where they were like, find your horse.
Yeah. Find your dirt bike.
Mm-hmm.
Become one with your dirt bike.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. I'll give it a shot. Might make it better.
I make it worse.
Couldn't be any worse.
No.
I think it's great that there's four more Avatar movies coming.
Oh, is there? How? Yeah. What?
Oh, yeah. Four more.
But they did everything. What else is there? I don't know. Oh, dear.
So, well, anything else, Claire?
No, I'm just kind of sad now about there being more Avatar movies.
Well, you don't have to go see them.
No. I'll dream about them tonight or this morning or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, Claire, I thank you for the call.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
Have a grand evening. Thanks.
You too.
Next call, please. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
Good. Who's this?
This is Josh calling from Riverton, New Jersey.
Josh from Riverton, New Jersey. Now, where's Riverton?
It's right across the Tacony-Palmyra Bridge from Philadelphia, so like south-ish Jersey.
Sure. Like around Cherry Hill?
Yeah, in that vicinity.
Like around Camden?
A little north.
A little north of Camden.
Oh, yeah.
All right. You like to eat at that pizza place? What's it called? People's Pizza?
You know, I pass by it, and I always think that name is hilarious, but I hadn't gone in it pre-pandemic, and I don't think I'll be going it during or post-pandemic.
All right. Well, go get yourself a slice. You earned it.
All right. Thank you.
So what you got for me tonight, Chief?
So I was calling about tonight's topic, but I was also wondering if you'll allow it to chime in on a topic from the Identify It.
For you, I will. For you, I will. And the Identify It, we never went through some of the things that people identified. We have to do that on the next episode.
I look forward to it.
No, I look forward to it as well. What do you want to do for Identify It? We ask the listeners to help people figure out songs or movies or TV shows that they had seen and were unable to place.
Yes.
What do you got?
So I was looking, and I recall this is sort of tied into the Best Show. Maybe about 10 years ago, I believe it was Jason from Huntsville called in and had mentioned something about a southern version of Punxsutawney Phil, where it was a possum that would feel the breeze and be able to tell if either the fall or the spring was coming sooner, and I was just hoping somebody in the Best Show universe would be able to track down maybe some footage or just some more information, because any Google search is a little vague for Bug Tussle Bill.
For a kind of down south Groundhog Day thing.
Yes, exactly.
Well, if anybody knows what it is, I would love to check that out.
Yes, please.
All right. What else you got for me, buddy?
And I also got one for the topic tonight. I haven't been able to listen in live. Has anyone mentioned any of the Beatles films?
No.
Oh, so when I saw the topic pop up today on the internet, I could only think of the opening scene of A Hard Day's Night, where the Beatles are essentially being chased by a roving gang of teenagers on dirt bikes.
It's been a hard, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It'd be like a Mad Max or sort of like that scene in Weird Science with the dirt bike gang.
Yeah. So it'd be like the Beatles crossed with Mad Max.
Yes.
Now, who's on the dirt bikes? The Beatles or the fans or everyone?
I think the fans, and I'm imagining it the fans, you know, how they're kind of outside the train station, just sort of like circling it, trying to get a peek at the Beatles.
Well, that seems more menacing.
Yes, that's the direction I'm taking it.
All right. You don't want it to be a kind of thing where the Beatles run and then get on dirt bikes and get away from the fans?
That'd be kind of cool, too. I'll take any version of this that I could get, really.
I think it would be pretty cool to watch the Beatles get away on dirt bikes.
Do you think any of them would be able to do, like, a wheelie?
Do I think any of them would be able to do, the Beatles would do a wheelie? I think Paul could do a wheelie. Yeah.
Have you ever ridden a dirt bike, Tom?
Well, this is the question I was kind of waiting for. No, I never have.
Do you want to?
Yes, I do. These are the things I want from life. Ride a dirt bike. Hang out with a chimp.
Yep.
Right?
maybe ride that dirt bike through the Holland or the Holland Tunnel next to that Holland car. Tunnel.
Oh my God! And then the other thing I wanted to do, the only thing, the thing on my bucket list that I did want to do that I do you know who Terry Crews is?
Yes, I do.
Do you know who Clay Matthews is?
I do not.
He's a football guy, right?
All right. Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to fight both of them at the same time, and I did.
What was the outcome?
They're both in the hospital right now.
Wow. During a pandemic, Tom, that's brutal.
Hey, man. They came at me, right? You know what I did? I did like a spin kick.
Have you ever done one of those things where you kind of put both arms out horizontally and kind of double close on somebody?
What I'll do often is I'll do that, and then I start spinning around, and I just start punching person after person.
What's your drop kick technique like?
My drop kick technique?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I usually do kind of like a bicycle kick, actually, which is like a 360. I just jump backwards and I kick. Or I'll do 360 or 720 even.
So for your bucket list, are there more people to fight, or are those kind of the only two?
No, those were the big two, Terry Crews and Clay Matthews. And I got them done at the same time because it was like a scheduling thing where it's just like, well, you got to fight both of them simultaneously. I'm like, these guys are both super tough, but it was the only way to make it happen, so I went with it.
Have you ever considered fighting Jake Paul?
I wouldn't want to get any Jake Paul on me.
That's fair, yeah. You never know where that guy's been.
You don't. Or you do know where he's been. I don't know what's worse.
Yeah, it's a as you would say, a two-way tie for last.
It is a thank you. Yes. I love it. Well,
that's all I got, Tom. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
What you got was more than enough.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. All right. Have Bye-bye. A great night. Next call, please. Do we have more calls? No, no, no more.
Indeed.
Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Jason in Inglewood, California, nearby you.
Jason in Inglewood, California. Now, what's the deal with you, Jason?
What's the deal? Well, where do I begin? What a year we've had, eh?
How so? I don't know what makes this year any different than other years.
I don't know. I got into badminton, I guess. That's been the biggest change.
That's cool.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm good.
Did you ask?
What's the deal? Let me ask you a question about California, right?
Yeah.
I drive around here. And you know what I see all the time? In-N-Out Burger, right?
Yeah.
What are they paying people for those burgers? It's like a line. It's like 30 cars deep any time of day. These people know that it's hamburgers. They sell them everywhere.
It's no fillet of fish.
Now you're just making fun of me now.
No.
Yeah, I know it's no fillet of fish. I ain't had no fillet of fish. I cut that out of my diet.
Yeah, that's, you know, like, no judgment, but I think that's probably a better idea.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Post-election, I didn't need no more fillet of fish. Although now that I'm talking about it, I kind of want one.
I mean, I think anything goes until this inauguration hits.
What do you think, you think Mr. Trump has another card up his sleeve?
Oh my God.
This is what I think he's going to do.
Okay.
I think he's going to Mission Impossible this thing. He's going to get sworn in, right? Like, he'll get up there like Joe Biden will get up like, all right, you swear to be president And he goes, yeah, I swear. Yeah. Like he'll kind of like stammer, like when like a celebrity impersonator looks like the person, but can't do an impression of the person.
Right.
So then he'll kind of, he'll stammer a little bit. Right. And then they'll be like, you're president now. And then suddenly you hear, dun, 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 dun. And he pulls the mask off. And it's Trump.
Alternatively, with a dirt bike, what if Biden is in the middle of the inauguration, he's got his hand on the Bible, and Trump, in full Evel Knievel garb,
mm-hmm.
launches over the entire thing?
Well, then I would actually have to say we should seriously consider a revote. If we could have a president that would do Evel Knievel jumps, it's worth considering.
I mean, I think it's that or the entire family escapes by night to a private island somewhere.
You think there's a chance they escape at night?
I think there's a, they duck I think out? There's a chance they try. I think there's a chance that they've got too much they're facing, and this is just desperation. They're just like, we got to get out.
I wonder if they'll try to escape. I like Don Jr. I think he's cool. And
he has swagger.
I like when he says stuff like, yeah, let's make a liberal cry.
Yeah.
And you know his father's just like, oh, he's so lame. Right? You know that Donald Trump is just like, when he sees like Don Jr. be a thing, just like, yeah, cry more tears, more liberal tears. Donald Trump's just like, oh, he's so unfunny.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, this entire thing's unbelievable, I think, for the leftish all around.
Well, thank you for that. So you want to see, a dirt bike at the inauguration.
I mean, it would be pretty incredible. That's not what I was originally thinking about.
Well, what were you originally thinking? But
I was thinking Grizzly Man should have had a dirt bike.
What if the Grizzly had a dirt bike?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, part of him hanging out with the bears was him training them to ride dirt bikes. I'm sure you've like, seen cheap carnivals in your day where there's bears riding around on dirt bikes.
And then Werner Herzog's like, we could not show the the thing. We can only listen to the murder. And you hear something here like, right? And you hear a guy like, I like it.
Yeah, I think it would have been an improvement.
And I'm looking on Twitter right now, and I see this guy. There's this one Nets fan, this one Warriors fan I know. Boy, oh boy, he's going to do a lot of, he's going to do more tap dancing. He's going to be, Gregory Hines didn't do as much tap dancing as this guy's going to do this year. They try to explain how bad the Warriors are going to be. He's like Fred Astaire. Fred Astaire would only dream of doing that much tap dancing. Well, thank you for the call, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a great...
You too. Bye. Hang on. Next call, please.
Buckle up.
Hey, thank you.
Best show. Hi.
Hi, Tom. This is David in Philadelphia. How are you?
David in Philadelphia.
Yes. I got one. Wow.
What's that now? Pat?
What's that?
Why should I buckle up?
I thought it was someone doing a character, but I think they hung up.
Did he hang up?
I think so, because there's two other calls now trying to make it through, so I think that person gave up.
All right. All right. Fair enough. We tried. Best show, hi. Hello, best show.
Hello, this is David from Philadelphia. How you doing, Tom?
Good, David. You're back.
I'm back. I don't know what happened there.
Well, what matters is you and I are talking right now.
Awesome.
Where in Philadelphia are you, David?
I'm in West Philadelphia.
In West Philadelphia. What's your favorite Wawa in all of Philadelphia?
There's the one on Broad Street that near City Hall. Mm-hmm. I go to that one a lot.
So what do you do? You do that when you're either you are celebrating beating the rap. Is that what you're doing? Then you head into Wawa.
Usually, I'm coming back from like a Sixers game or a Phillies game or something like that. Get off Broad Street line,
and then you want to have some food, right?
Yeah, some tasty cakes.
What do you think happens to your Philadelphia 76ers? What do you think happens? Do they trade Ben Simmons?
Probably. It looks like it. I like the new coach. I think he'll do a good job.
I think so too. I think he'll do a good job. Last time I checked, he ain't put no uniform on.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
They drove Jimmy Butler out. He couldn't stand the unprofessional attitude.
Yeah, hopefully, Doc will shape him up.
So what do we got? Tell me in Philly, who are your Philadelphia heroes? Name three heroes from Philadelphia, David.
Fanatic.
The Philly Fanatic is an obvious hero, sure.
I just read Valley of the Dolls, and I found out Jacqueline Suzanne is from West Philadelphia.
Sure, so we got the Philly Fanatic, Jacqueline Suzanne.
Kurt Vile.
And Kurt Vile, that's a good list.
Yeah, covers all the bases, I think.
Yeah, I love it. So what can I do for you? What do you got for me, David? You got something for the topic?
I do. For the dirt bike topic, right?
Yes, yes, the dirt bike topic. What do you got?
So I'm thinking the Bad News Bears, the original movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which is already a dirt bike scene in it.
No, when Kelly rides onto the field.
Yep. So what I'm thinking is add a second dirt bike.
Add a second dirt bike.
Yes. So Walter Matthau's character, Buttermaker, sees Kelly go out in the field on his dirt bike. So he grabs the dirt bike, and he goes chasing after him.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got a chase scene in the Bad News Bears.
Okay.
And, chase scene. What was that?
I said a good old-fashioned chase scene dropped into a baseball movie.
Yep. And so the way the scene unfolds is Walter Matthau's got a cigarette and a beer in his hand. He's riding the dirt bike and he tries to catch up with Kelly. Mm-hmm. And he can't catch him. You know, it's like they're driving through the suburbs of Los Angeles. And then Kelly's trying to escape, but, you know, Buttermaker's really close. And then he goes in an alley and he hits a construction site where they have like
This is a fake. You're going to say something about e-cigs for legs. I can tell. I can tell.
No, that's not me.
It's you. It's you.
I wish it was. Wish I'd
been. Oh, you. All right, go ahead. So there's a chase, and then what?
And then he hits a construction site, and there's a pile of dirt, and he uses it as a ramp. He hits the ramp, and he goes over a fence, and he lands in a pool. And his bike sinks to the bottom of the pool. And that's how he gets away from Buttermaker.
All right. I like that. Well, he loses his motorcycle.
Then what happens the next scene, because in the movie, Buttermaker cleans pools. Mm-hmm. In the next scene, he's cleaning the pool, and he's fishing the motorbike. He's the dirt bike out of the pool.
Ah, I get it. I got you. He's fishing the dirt bike. That's what he does to, like, kind of get this kid on his side.
That's his leverage. He's got the dirt bike now.
I got your dirt bike out of the pool. Now I'm excited. The Bad News Bears is a movie where it's, if you haven't seen it, it's basically, it's children yelling hate speech at each other. And it's really, really, of its time, I guess it's fair to say. I never saw the remake, but I'm going to assume there was slightly less hate speech in it than the original.
Yeah, I hope so.
But what I'm excited about is that John Krasinski announced Good News Bears. And it, it's going to be him behind a desk doing that good news show he does. And then he gets eaten by a bear at the end. It's good news, comma, bears. I want to name a few people. You tell me if they were from Philadelphia or not.
All right.
Hack.
Who is that?
Hack.
No.
Yeah, Hack was from Philadelphia. The cabbie from the show Hack. Hack from Hack. Nico.
From the Velvet Underground and Nico?
Yeah.
No, I don't think she's from Philly.
Oh, she is from Philly, yes.
Was she? What part of Philly?
Center City.
Yeah. It's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah. David Lee Roth.
Yes.
No, he was not.
How?
All right. Well, you lost, my friend. Nice try.
Yeah. All right.
Might want to brush up on Philly history. All right. Have a great night.
Thanks, Tom. Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye. How you doing, Pat?
Hello?
So far.
Best show, hi. Oh, no. We'll talk to this guy. I'll talk to you, Pat. I'll talk to this guy first. Best show, hi.
Hey, Willie.
To whom am I speaking?
This is Dylan in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Dylan?
Yep.
How are you tonight, Dylan?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. Good. What's going on in Winston-Salem? Home of?
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes. That's right. That's like when you pull into town, it says home of cigarettes.
Yeah.
What's your favorite cigarette?
Camels are the Winston-Salem, the most famous Winston-Salem brand. So I smoke a lot of Camels, especially when I'm in other parts of the country. I like to represent Winston-Salem, but I like Marlboros. That's going to be Richmond, and that's our nemesis.
Sure, that drive from 95 to 85, it's like a tour of the Cigarette Museum of America. Pass that one cigarette company, what is it, Philip Morris?
Yeah, that's Richmond.
Yeah. Now, what is your name? All I can think is a cigarette. I don't want to call you cigarette.
Dylan.
Dylan, of course, Dylan. I'm so sorry. We started talking about cigarettes and then Philip Morris.
We were
and
got excited.
Well, Dylan.
I got excited because I'm trying to quit, and so I think about cigarettes a lot.
This is what I want to say to you, Dylan. It's time to quit smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, it's so bad. And then I look around and I'm like, man, this city was built on the backs of death and destruction and lung cancer and all that. And then I think,
we built this city on cigarettes, built this city. This is what you should do. You should go to town hall. As soon as this pandemic's over, you go and you say, like, I call a town hall meeting, and you go and you bring a little boom box and you have karaoke version of We Built the City, and you just say, like, everyone here, we got a little problem because this city has been built on one thing. And then you do We Built the City on cigarettes, and then you say, it's got to stop. And you reach into your pocket, you pull out a cigarette, and you light it up, and you say, this is my last cigarette for my life.
That could go viral if somebody could catch that on camera.
Well, we'll set it up. Well, I'll get somebody to show up there and film you when you do that, Dylan. But seriously, and all kidding aside, I know you're trying to quit. You think you might be able to do that? You're going to try to do it for 2021, seriously? Take care of yourself?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I'm, like, maybe going from over half a pack a day to like six in the past couple weeks is pretty good.
Six packs a day?
No, six cigarettes in the past couple weeks after I started trying to quit.
Okay. Well, you're down to 6 cigarettes a day. And this is what I'm going to say. No, the goal is for you to actually stop. Say that again.
I'm saying 6 altogether in the past couple weeks. Like, some days, none, which is better than I thought I would do. Whenever I was like, I'm going to quit, I thought I'd be, you know, like most people, and it's just so easy to say that and not do it. But I surprised myself and was able to go days without it. But, yeah, like I'm saying, 1 every few days is what I've been doing, but maybe it's...
And the one cigarette is so you get 1, and then you after you smoke it, you're like, that'll hold me for a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, I've got plenty of nicotine gum and stuff, so...
Sure. Well, Dylan, I want to say this. You're off to a really good start.
Thank you, Tom.
And I believe in you, and I know you can get it to the point where you're not smoking any cigarettes.
Thanks. You might be the only person who said that to me so far. I mean, I just started. I didn't really tell anybody I was quitting, but...
Well, you went from not telling anybody to telling everybody, and we all know you can do it. Well, not all of us. Some people think you can.
Some people think I can.
I believe in you. I believe in you, Dylan. I know you can get this, nicotine, monkey off your back, so to speak.
Yep. I hope so. I mean, yeah, I will. But anyway.
You try. That's all you do. You try. And look, if you slip up here and there, you just keep trying though. You keep trying. You get that cigarette. You just realize it's like an ashtray in your mouth, right?
But then I'm walking around this city and I just look at everything and all the cigarettes, all the cigarette stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you got for me tonight? You got something for the topic?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen Jerry, the Gus Van Sant movie?
Oh, that's the movie, the Matt Damon, Casey Affleck movie where they kind of, they're walking and talking.
Yeah, for like a long time.
I never did see it. And that's one of those movies. This is the kind of movie I'm getting interested in now. Boring movies. And when I say boring, I don't even mean it in a bad way. I don't mean boring in a bad way. I mean meditative, focused,
yeah.
singularly determined. Some people would say a Kelly Reichardt movie is quote unquote boring because it's not fast cuts and fast edits. So be it. It's not though, but I could see why you feel it because it's setting a very deliberate pace. But I says to you, I'm interested in this kind of thing now, and I want more of it.
Because Kelly Reichardt, she's really good at just, I don't know, making it so gripping, even though it is kind of objectively boring or whatever. Like Wendy and Lucy, the time just flies by.
Yeah,
you're just so
but I would
into
say,
it.
I agree.
And that's
go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
And that's what he was trying to do with, I mean, all his movies are, I mean, he had a period there where his movies were really, yeah, like meditative. And I just think Jerry failed at that.
Because,
you know, you don't, but Matt Damon and Casey Affleck aren't necessarily the guys that you want to follow around in the desert and look at. And also,
sure.
There was really nothing there. Like, there was just nothing to. And also, I was younger when I watched it, but I just felt like, because also what happens is they die out there, and so that's the other thing a dirt bike could help. But also, I think if they had a couple dirt bikes or one, there could have been a movie there.
All right. So you want to add one dirt bike or 2 dirt bikes?
Well, we're going to have to workshop that because I don't know. I think that they could both fit on one. It might look cooler. Like in my own private Idaho, you know, Keanu and River looked good on that bike together.
All right. Let's say one dirt bike.
Let's say one.
And one dirt bike. The movie Jerry now is a dirt bike. With it's a dirt bike riding through the desert with Casey Affleck and Matt Damon on it.
Yeah, and it's a happy ending where they ride that thing to civilization or some sort of oasis. I haven't thought right. that far.
Dylan, you don't have to think any further. I love it. I tip my hat to you. And you're going to quit smoking. You're going to call up and say, you know what? I haven't smoked a cigarette. I did it. And you know what I'm going to say to you? You're darn tootin'. You did do it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Pat?
Sir.
How are you?
Doing good.
What's good. Going on? Yeah. Well, you, what do you think of this topic? Do you have one for the topic?
I don't myself, but, somebody wrote me on Instagram and they had one. I don't know if they couldn't get through, but I'm going to read this one out.
Okay.
A hard day's night where all the girls are riding dirt bikes and tormenting the Beatles a la Mad Max and Weird Science.
I thought we just took that call.
Oh, did we?
Wow, this guy's not listening. Oh, no.
I'm getting a little tired, Tom.
Oh, Pat. Pat. Oh, no. You know, the countdown has begun for when Dudio comes on and like, hey, Pat, I guess you missed that one, huh, Pat?
Yeah, I did use the bathroom.
That's fine. Oh, Pat, I'm not getting on you.
It was a pretty long call.
I don't know why he didn't just tell me. I mean, I screened the call. I don't know why he didn't just say, hey, it's me. We just talked on Instagram.
Pat, I don't know what these people are up to.
Yeah.
All I can say is that this is called Dudio's Delight.
Dudio's Delight, new segment on the show.
He right. loves it when somebody messes up.
Yeah.
So, how about you, Jason? Do you have one for the topic?
Yeah, someone else tweeted this, but I wrote this down earlier. Easy Rider is an easy one for a dirt bike.
Okay.
Like, why don't you have a real hog? They'd probably focus on the dirt bike. Maybe Peter Fonda's riding the dirt bike at the end when he gets, he doesn't get shot off, though, does he? He just crashes.
He crashes and Dennis Hopper gets shot, right?
Yeah. The other one I thought of is Mr. Holland Lopez.
So wait, it could be called, instead of Easy Rider, it would be called Dirty Rider.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because a dirt bike would not be very easy to ride for that far. So you were thinking, so that's Easy Rider, and you're thinking Mr. Holland's Opus, add a dirt bike to that.
So like the very last scene where they're playing the song for Mr. Holland and he's crying.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody just rips into the high school auditorium and pops some wheelies.
It could go like where he's like, beautiful, 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 beautiful Culver. Right?
Yeah.
And notice my dirt bike is similar to my Frankenstein. Frankenstein on a dirt bike would be. No, Frankenstein. Does he have a dirt bike? No, he's grunting. I'm sure that's a dirt bike. I think that was Frankenstein. And then the barn door flies open. It's Frankenstein on a dirt bike. Turns out you were right. It was a dirt bike. Somebody should make that into a skit. Maybe that can get on SNL, right? They do skits on. They're still doing skits on SNL, right?
Yeah, they're
very skit heavy.
They're doing skits. Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody works on SNL and wants to buy that from me to do as a skit on your show, just reach out. We got a great show for you tonight. Pitbull's here with a dirt bike. Mr. Dirt Bike, he'd be called.
Mr. World.
Whatever. Dirt. What is he? He's Mr. What?
Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide. But what's his area code again?
503? I don't even know.
Portland? Salt Lake City?
That's 801, isn't it?
I think he's been riding the pandemic out in Denton, Texas.
What is the Salt Lake City area code? That would be the funniest thing if somebody was like, 801, yeah, Mr. 801.
Yeah, 801, yep.
Yeah.
That's where I was born.
Salt Lake City.
No yep. way.
Yeah, I was born, lived my first 2 years in Salt Lake City.
Pat.
Yeah.
You ever get the feeling duty was one of these guys? He did. I did this. I did that.
A lot of make-em-ups.
Say anything.
A lot of make-em-ups.
He's got a lot of connections to a lot of places, yeah. right?
What?
I could say like.
King of improv.
Yeah, you ever? Yeah, I was from. I could say like, yeah, I went to Antarctica. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I did two right? years.
He's yes anding us.
He's yes anding us with life.
Yeah.
He's like, his life is an improv class.
It was truth in comedy, Tom.
And I want to say this about improv. I know this is going to be controversial. And we talked about it on Double Threat, the other show I do with my friend Julie Klausner, the insanely talented Julie Klausner. We did an improv show a couple weeks ago. It was very funny. But I want to say this. This Del Close, I don't get it. This guy's supposed to be the funniest guy ever. Where are the laughs? Show me the laughs. He ain't that funny. Oh, he did a comedy album in 1963. Yeah, I heard it. It sucks. Oh, but he taught. Okay, he taught. The gym teacher did a lot of teaching, too. I could go watch that guy play a pro basketball game.
He was also a creep.
Well, let's say, was he a creep or allegedly?
Allegedly a creep, yeah.
He's allegedly a creep, Del Close. The dude is going to run back to his improv buddies, Alan Cole, whatever his name is, Conover. Alan, they're saying Del Close stinks. And he'll go, actually, he was the best. I was flipping through Twitch one night, right? After a George Lucas talk show ended. And I kid you not, that guy is on there just playing video games. I watched 20 minutes of him watching his flat screen TV playing, or whatever he's watching, playing video games. I watched him. I said to myself, is this a new season of Alan Ruins Everything? Boy, there are some budget cuts on that one. I don't know. You watch that, it's like half these people. That's half the thing. I can't wait for this pandemic to be over. Got to watch every comedian has a Twitch thing watching them play video games. And so what's his face? So, the Silicon Valley fella playing video game. Alan Colvert playing video games. They're all playing video games. Conover. What's his name? Alan Conover?
Adam Conover.
Adam Conover? It's just like Twitch is just a thing where you watch old comedy people play video games now. I don't know. Maybe one of them could buy that skit off me. They could punch up their Twitch stream. Got another call for me, Pat?
Sure do.
Oh.
And we're going to, in general, we're going to start to set up the winding down of the show now, okay? We're going to start setting up the winding down of the show. 15 minutes, we'll stop taking calls. How about that? Best Show, hi.
Hello.
Hello, hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, this is Mary from Lansdale.
Mary from Lansdale. Now, This is one of the all timers.
Oh,
this is a
well,
good person. Yeah. This is a quality human.
thank you. How are you doing tonight, Tom?
I'm good. I'm good. What do I owe the pleasure of this call, Mary?
Well, I got to be honest, my husband and I have been going back and forth on this topic all day.
On the dirt bike. Add a dirt bike to a movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you got for me?
Well, you know, we were kind of brainstorming. I thought, like, well, have you ever seen Three Godfathers, the Western? It's like
Three Godfathers. Godfather 3?
No. Three Godfathers. It's like from 1936.
Okay. I have not.
It's about these three fugitives who find a baby in the desert and have to decide whether to keep escaping to freedom or return the baby to town. And basically, their trip would have been a lot easier if they had a dirt bike.
Okay.
So that was number one.
I like it. I wish I knew the movie so I could pitch in on it, but I don't.
Oh, but well, this next one you might know.
Okay.
Have you seen Troy?
Troy?
Yeah.
The historical epic?
Yeah, yeah. You know, Brad Pitt.
I know it. I didn't see it.
Yeah. But you know the general outline, and like the movie doesn't really deviate because, you know, it ends with a Trojan horse.
Sure. So, I like this. I see where you're going. A Trojan dirt bike.
Yes. Well, so here's the thing. My husband thought of this. This is great. He said, the rest of the movie's the same, but you open up the Trojan horse, and out come dirt bikes. All the Greeks on dirt bikes. And the Iron Maiden song, Run to the Hills, starts up. As the Greeks start to pillage Troy, coming out of the horse, riding dirt bikes.
I like this. I like this. It opens up, and a wave of dirt bikes come out.
Yeah.
Well, that is an upgrade.
Much better movie.
I would watch that movie. There's a reason why I didn't see Troy, but if it had dirt bikes in it, I would have seen it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you have another one?
What was yours? Yeah, there was one. I started to think about like Excalibur with dirt bikes, but then I realized that's just the movie Knight Riders.
Yes, that's true. They did the George Romero movie Knight Riders, and then he makes that movie, and then they're like, he's like, oh, I got to make a movie knights with motorcycles, and then they're just like, George, we need you to make another zombie movie. He's like, oh. Man, he hated those zombie movies after a while, huh?
Yeah, I think it started to get to him, you know. Although, you know, Dawn of the Dead is I love it. And that has not dirt. Well, there's a motorcycle gang in it.
Well, what about this? Dawn of the Dirt Bikes.
Yeah.
And it so takes place, and it's a comic. Because this is something, Mary, look, I'm not going to insult your intelligence. I know you're a very smart person, but I know this probably eluded you when you saw Dawn of the Dead. It's a comment on commercialism, actually.
Are you sure?
You have to realize there's a reason why they're in a shopping mall. It's a comment on consumerism. It really is. The shoppers are the zombies any different than the shoppers you see at the mall? Now, I want to give you 20 seconds to wrap your head around that and to truly digest that concept. Okay, great. Now you're back.
I think I got it.
Yeah, no, that's what I says. Dawn of the Dirt Bikes.
Hell, yes, like it. Excellent.
What do you have going on? What do you have going on? You doing okay?
I'm, you know, I have my up days and my down days, but I'm actually very excited for something this week. So my husband and I, like, we record songs, you know, in our basement. and we recorded two Christmas songs. And, you know, if anybody is familiar with the 25-hour holiday music marathon on WPRB.
Yes, the John Solomon. That is one of the holiday traditions is John Solomon, the great John Solomon.
Yes.
Plays Christmas music for 25 hours straight.
Yes. And my husband and I, our little outfit is called Death Elf.
Okay.
And
tell me more about Death Elf.
My husband mostly writes the music and lyrics, and I, you know, edit them. so he plays guitar, I play drums, and then we usually bring in friends to, you know, do other stuff. And so the last couple of years we've had songs on that show. And so we have two more this year that I'm very excited for. And, one will play probably Christmas Eve and one hopefully during the day, fingers crossed. And, I love the show. I've been listening to it since I was a teenager, I guess. So, I'm very excited to have music in there. And, we throw the songs up on Bandcamp, once they've gone out on the show. And, but it's more just, making music is so much fun.
I love it. That is fantastic.
Yeah. And also, Death Elf. DETHELF.
I look forward to hearing Death Elf.
Awesome.
I think this is exciting.
Cool. Well, Tom,
are you excited? Are you excited?
I'm super excited. Oh, my goodness.
It's very really, cool.
I can't wait.
And you should be excited. Yeah. And everybody should listen to John Solomon's Christmas show on WPRB.
Yes.
It's a great tradition, and it's there, and you're going to have a good time with it.
Yeah. And you never know what's going to come except at 12:34 in the morning, at which time it is Ramon's o'clock. That's the one thing I always know. But, no,
that's right.
Seriously, everybody should listen. It is so much fun.
I agree. All right. Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got that to look forward to. It's very exciting.
Thank you, Tom, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. You have a great night.
Good night, Tom.
Good night. Best show.
Sorry, one more time.
Best show.
Hi, Tom. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. To whom am I speaking?
This is Evan in Canada.
Evan in Canada. Just yes, Canada?
Well, I'm in Vancouver.
Okay. It's not like I would just say it's Tom from the United States.
Of America.
Or as you guys call it, the States.
The States.
You hate us.
No, we don't. Only sympathy.
Well, to what do I owe the pleasure of this call, Dennis?
I had two for the topic. Brief.
What do you got?
Well, the first one is a bit thinky, but are you familiar with the movie Lock?
No, I'm not.
Oh. Is it Tom Hardy in a car? No.
Tom Hardy in a car?
Yeah, he just drives around a car for 2 hours, talking on the phone, trying to sort out his life.
Well, it sounds like something I'd be interested if I'm interested in this new, I'm interested in boring movies now. That sounds pretty boring.
Yeah, but if he's on a dirt bike, not so much.
You're right.
Yeah, it'd be exciting. It'd be like The Transporter.
Yeah, get him on a dirt bike. All right, I'll check that out. I'll check Lock out.
And picture him on a dirt bike.
What do you got? What else you got for me, buddy?
One that could have maybe sold more tickets if they had considered your dirt bike idea was Dr. Doolittle with Robert Downey Jr.
And to call it Dr. Dirt Bike a lot.
Yeah, a lot of dirt bikes and communicating with all kinds of dirt bikes.
This Dr. Doolittle, right?
Yeah.
At what point is this guy just like, nah, I got enough cash. I don't have to go play Dr. Doolittle in a back in front of the green screen, getting in the unitard with the ping pong balls all over it, or whatever he needs to do to be it.
I think they just lay money on his lap in the trailer.
Maybe maybe the green screen's just made of cash. Maybe that's all the cash stacked up.
Yeah. I think it's pretty easy.
Yeah. I love it. Well, my
Don,
friend.
You're so kind. Thank you.
You're great. You have a great night. Thanks. How we doing, Pat?
We got three more calls.
Three more, and then that wraps it up. Best show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, who's this?
This is Jonathan in Houston. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's up, Jonathan?
I'm just calling in. I got one for the topic. And I appreciate you taking my call. I know it's late.
Don't worry about it, buddy. What do you got? Give me the good stuff.
Okay. I was saying The Last Waltz.
Oh, well, I'm going to say this. You were worried about anything you were worried about, you stopped worrying about it because you just dropped the best one of the night on me right now. The Last Waltz with Dirt Bikes.
Well, I had an idea for how I see the dirt bikes factoring in, but
please,
let's hear it. Obviously, if you have a better idea.
No, I want to hear your idea. I would never have come up with The Last Waltz with Dirt Bikes. So I'm in your world.
All right. So at the very least, what I see is at the beginning when they're doing all that pre-concert interview stuff, they're sitting on the couches and stuff. There'll be a dirt bike in the room, which I guess Robbie Robertson or someone will say, we got this fantastic gift, for the occasion of of our last show. Ain't it something? So, and that's that. And then the next time you see the dirt bike will be the concert goes exactly the same, except, when Neil Young comes in, same exact thing, only he comes in on the dirt bike.
So Neil Young comes out on the dirt bike.
Yeah. But makes no big deal about it, maybe.
All right. I got to say, my friend, you just taught me something. But the world is full of possibilities.
It's true.
So what if it's kind of like this? Let me see if I can pull this off. Wait one second.
Uh-huh.
Give me a second. Tell me about what you're asking for. Would you celebrate Christmas?
Hanukkah.
Well, what did you get for Hanukkah?
Nothing really for, Hanukkah's more for the kids.
Sure. So, you didn't get nothing?
I don't think so. Nothing.
Nobody got you anything?
No, I wasn't feeling bad about it either, but maybe I should have been.
Dudio, can you send me a dirt bike MP, a sound of a dirt bike as an MP3? So hold on a second.
I think someone tweeted one at us.
Wow. I just need, however you
Hanukkah
get it to me, get me it there.
It's different than Christmas. It's more for the kids,
I think you need to get some Hanukkah spirit back. I think you're missing out on the magic of Hanukkah. You could use a little Hanukkah magic. So when you were a kid with Hanukkah.
Yeah, Hanukkah was a big deal as a kid.
Did your family start off big gift first night or a small gift first night and build up to the big gift?
It usually built up. Yeah. So you were like
socks,
the eighth night,
pencils.
The thing was you had like you had your grandparents giving you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So there was so usually like the parents would distribute, It was pretty good throughout. I had a good Hanukkah.
Sure. So as a kid, well, what's the all-time best Hanukkah present you ever remember getting?
Best one. I remember I must have been maybe 10, and I got a Nintendo. And that, like, I vividly remember that. That's got to be number one.
I love it.
Yeah.
My friend.
Do you think sorry to interrupt, but like.
No.
For the dirt bike in the last waltz thing, I had, like, for some reason when I first came up with it, I was thinking I had the image of Neil Young. And then I had the image of Robertson sort of foreshadowing it. And then I thought about maybe it can be like a running thing where like different guys are vying for the dirt bike. But I didn't
like Joni Mitchell. Joni Mitchell comes out on the dirt bike.
Yes.
But do they all come out on the dirt bike?
Not all, but it's got to be a little unpredictable. Like maybe they're sort of fighting for the dirt bike.
They're fighting for the dirt bike.
Yeah.
I gotta say, my friend, I'm gonna just try something right here, and you tell me what you think of this.
Okay.
You tell me if you think this works, because you're the conductor of this one. And what's your name again? I'm Denny? Ready.
Jonathan,
you tell me what you think. Hold on. Of this. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Think about that,
Tom. I'm really humbled. Like, that's why you're the master. You know, I just serve it up, and you really take it to art. That's beautiful stuff.
You're very kind. You're very kind.
No, that's great though. That's hysterical.
All right. Well, you have a great night.
All right.
I'll talk to you. Okay. Take care. Remaining calls.
We have a couple. We have a guy who promised to be short that I added as a third as a maybe.
All right. Let's give me the other ones, then that person can go last. Best show. Hello, best show.
Hi, Tom. This is Steve from Chicago.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I was doing pretty good, but now I'm worried. How could I top the last waltz? That's just the perfect one.
I don't know. I think that guy, I think he figured the whole thing out with that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I have an attempt though. Just a quick one for the topic.
Let's hear it.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And at the very end, the mothership is just a big dirt bike.
What about this?
Okay.
The mothership's a giant dirt bike comes down, or
yeah.
The ship comes down.
Right.
And then the little kid comes out on a dirt bike.
Yeah. Should he get on a dirt bike and join them all, or does he walk in with them?
I think
Richard Dreyfuss.
The platform lowers.
Mm-hmm.
And then Richard Dreyfuss. And the little, and the kid comes out on a little, like a little mini dirt bike.
Yeah,
he's like four. Right? Whatever he is. He's three, however old that kid is.
Yeah, a little
way. Whatever he's four or five. I don't know. But then Richard Dreyfuss is like, they're getting ready to leave and everybody's getting on board the thing and they're going to hand them over to the mission and stuff. And then at the last second, right? Richard Dreyfuss rides on a dirt bike up that ramp right before the door closes.
Yeah, he should do some tricks.
Yeah.
Do a donut. Love it.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Bye. Best show.
Hey, this is Pat DC, and I was thinking Paris, Texas.
I've never seen Paris, Texas. That's the...
Oh, you should. It's one of the great...
Harry Dean Stanton, Nastassia Kinski, right?
Yeah. But
I never saw it.
Like 30 minutes of Harry Dean Stanton silently walking through the desert.
Okay.
And if he was just on a dirt bike, I just really like the image of Harry Dean Stanton in a suit riding a dirt bike through the desert. I just think
I'm on board with it.
Yeah.
On board.
Yep.
Anything with Harry Dean Stanton on a dirt bike. That sounds like a winner to me.
Yeah. So.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
All right. Yes. No, thank you very much. And happy holidays. And
happy holidays to you too. Bye. Best show.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Good, good. Who's this?
This is Matt in Eureka.
Matt in Eureka, which is in... California,
yeah. There you go.
What do you got?
So I got a short one. I got a short one for the topic.
Let's hear. What is it, Matt?
So it's in The Usual Suspects, the final scene where Verbal Kent becomes Kaiser Soze. You know, his limp disappears as he walks down the street. Then he gets into a limousine. But instead of getting into the limousine, he gets on the back of some dude's dirt bike, and they just cruise off.
Oh, I love it. Perfect. That's a perfect ending.
All right.
Upgrade. Thanks, buddy. We done with calls, Pat?
We are donezo. There was one last guy, but I told him that the calls were done. But
Pat, you run a tight ship, and I love it.
I do have his movie, though. I was curious. He said,
"What is it?"
He said, "Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid." At the very
instead of the bicycle, end.
Yes.
For the raindrops keep falling on my head portion of the movie?
Actually, I think it was the end. He was saying at the end they ride off into the sunset with dirt bikes.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd see that. Well, I want to say this, Pat. Happy holidays to you.
Yes, sir. Same. Same to you. And Jason and Adam, who I just met.
Yes. I want to thank Adam for helping out tonight. Thank you, Adam.
Of course, it was a pleasure.
See, he's a good guy. I was hard on him at the beginning.
You were.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily.
Adam's a very good dude.
And see, that's the problem with a dudio type, is that these guys, they can't stand tall unless they're on top of someone they've defeated. They're laying, they climb on top of their body and they stand on that. It's the only way they can stand tall. And it's a sickness. And I don't know what
makes it's the West Virginia in me.
It is. And this is another thing I'll say.
You finally admitted.
You can't, you could take the boy out of West Virginia, but trust me, you ain't taking the West Virginia out of the boy.
Can't be done.
No. And I want to say this. When it comes to, look, I don't know what next week is going to be. Maybe we'll take the week off. Maybe there'll be a best show that I'll do. I'll figure something out, but I'm not sure yet. But this will be the next week won't have calls and whatnot. We'll figure it out. But the show's back. What a road to get the show back, and what a road to get through the finish line to 2020. But we're here. Those of us that are here are here. So we are happy to be here. We should be happy to be here. We get a crack at 2021 if we're here now, 2020. We get a crack at what the next year could hold. And that is a gift for all of us. And yeah, we got an opportunity ahead of us. And I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody that stuck with the show and everybody that is on board and everybody that is here. We will keep doing it and it's going to get better. I feel like the show got its feet back under it and it's just going to get better. And I thank you, Pat. I thank you, Jason. I thank everybody that works on the show. Martine, Amy, everybody that works on the show. So there's so many people. I'm so very appreciative of everybody. And Mike will be back when we pick things back up after the new year. Love Mike. And want all the best for everybody. So we'll figure it out. We'll do it right. And everybody will be happy. And we'll have a good 2021. What do you think about that?
Sounds great.
It was a rhetorical question. It was not okay. Meant for.
I'm agreeing with it.
Well, that's kind of you. I'd be troubling. It would be troubling if you didn't agree.
Yeah. You're if like, I turn on I my disagree. Mic and I'm like, I don't know.
I think we should have a bad. If you were like, I think we should all have a bad 2021.
Yeah.
So what a better way to end than with the song. Should we end with the song 2021? What do you think about that? Let's be the first ones to do that, huh? Do you know that song by Vampire Weekend, 2021?
I do. It is a good song.
Happy New Year. Happy holidays. I'm going to assume I'll figure something out next week. You'll know about it on Twitter, but I'm saying happy holidays. Merry Christmas, everybody. Better stuff right around the corner. We can get there. We're closer than we've been. Thank you. And I appreciate all of you. So let's do it and say goodnight. Bye.